Well, hey everyone, welcome to episode 3 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, the podcast is sponsored by the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. And today we're going to start out, we'll spend a little time with one of our sponsors. We have Dave Lewis from Home Services Lending here today. Dave, how you doing?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Tell me a little bit about yourself and Home Services Lending.
You bet. So I've been in the mortgage business about 14 years. I've been here with Home Services at the Ankeny office for 8 years. I'm married to a wonderful wife, have a 1.5-year-old baby girl. And so Home Services Lending is a national mortgage company with a local feel. We're owned and operated by a sister company with Iowa Realty. And so we're sister companies in that way.
Well, that's great. What are some things our audience should know about Home Services Lending?
Right. So two important things that really set us apart from other mortgage lenders in the area here. Number one is we're part of a one-stop shopping model. So what that means is that when you buy a home with an Iowa Realty agent, you can use me as for the lending, which I'm right here in the same office as them. We have Home Services Insurance that also offices here, as well as our title company. So every part of the transaction takes place right in one spot to make the transaction easier for the customer. And number two, we work with over 20 different investors. So we don't just have one loan option, we have several. So we can really sit down with you, personalize kind of what you're wanting to do and what your goals are, and get the financing lineup according to that.
Well, I like the idea of one-stop shopping. It sure makes the whole home buying process easier. How can people reach you?
Sure, yeah, so they can swing by our office here on Delaware. They can go to my website, which is www.dsmmortgage.com, or give me a call at 515-321-5913.
Well, he is Dave Lewis from Home Services Lending. Dave, thanks for being on today.
Thank you.
We have two guests lined up for you today, and there's a little bit of a theme today's show. We're going to be talking to two gentlemen who are both retiring after long and distinguished careers in high school athletics. Our first guest was the 2013 Iowa Athletic Director of the Year, and in 2017, he received a School Administrator Award from the Iowa High School Athletic Association, which is basically a Lifetime Achievement Award, and it was very well deserved. He is Tom Kinseth, the outgoing athletic director at Ankeny Centennial. Tom, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Appreciate it, Dan. Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
You bet. Well, congratulations on a great career. I know tomorrow is your last day. Is it kind of hard to believe that it's almost over?
It is. It's after you start emptying out your office a little bit and with all the things that are personal items, and it hits home. But looking forward for the day and looking forward to a little time with my own schedules.
Well, before we talk about your career in high school athletics, let's talk a little bit about your plans going forward. You know, what are your plans for retirement?
Right now, it's whatever my wife wants me to do, I guess. I've been away from the house, and she has some honey-do lists, but enjoy the grandkids and talk with just a bunch of people and just have fun. Life is short, and you know, after you have a lot of people you know that are no longer around, it kind of hits home too that you want to do some things before your time is up. So sounds kind of bad, but I just want to experience some free time with some fishing. I like to fish, I like to hunt, I like to play golf, and enjoy my grandkids and enjoy my kids.
Let's talk about your career a little bit. I know you were a four-sport athlete at Algona High School before moving on to Buena Vista, where you competed in basketball and track. You know, was it always part of your plan to become an athletic director, or did that plan kind of develop later on?
It kind of developed later on. I always wanted to be an educator and coach, and I looked up to a lot of people when I was in high school. You know, some of my high school coaches, Keith Christie, and was a football coach and baseball coach, and Howie Stevenson, basketball coach. And then I got involved with playing college athletics and basketball at BV and track. And then I really focused on being an educator, but I always wanted to coach high school sports. And like a lot of coaches, you just want to extend your playing career, and that on the other side of it is coaching. And then when I went to Fort Dodge, we had a great athletic director in Dutch Huseman, followed up by Don Miller, and I always kind of admired what they were doing, and I thought, well, maybe I want to jump into that. And an opportunity came for me to be a middle school athletic director at Phillips Middle School in Fort Dodge. And I got that position, and Don was a high school AD. And Don always said, hey, get your administrative degree, and cause I'm going to be retiring in 2002. And I finished my MA from Drake, and I got that position. So that's kind of the trail of going from, you know, educator, teacher, coach, and to an AD. But I would do it all over again. It's been fun.
Well, I know you held a variety of coaching positions there in Fort Dodge. did those positions kind of help you, you know, see how things maybe should be done from when you became an athletic director, did you kind of appreciate, you know, things that, from a coach's perspective?
I did. You know, when you coach a team sport like football, like basketball, there's a lot of, you know, guessing and who's going to start and things like that. And then later on in my career, I was a boys golf coach, and you know, there is line them up and play who's going to have the lower score. So you got the perspective of, you know, can you line them up and beat somebody, or you have that, you know, what can you bring to the table on a team sport, your role. And so you got to see both sides of it. That can be pretty much cut and dried, or a team sport where you have to, you know, pick a starter, pick a, you know, somebody who's going to bring that role to your team. And I got to see both sides of that, but I enjoyed them all. Golf was one of those that you hate to give up because it was get you on the golf course. And back then, some of the coaches would go play on the backside and the players would play on the front side, but you can't do that anymore. But that was a good part of coaching and enjoying that.
Well, I know you and your wife raised your three kids there in Fort Dodge, and I'm sure you have a lot of great memories of your time there. And it certainly would have been easy for you to finish your career there. What attracted you to the position at Ankeny Centennial back in 2013?
Well, you know, always competing against Ankeny, and you know, Fred Smith was one of my mentors. He was here at the middle school AD and high school AD. He served both, and I got to know Fred. And whatever Fred communicated, whatever he said, you listened. And he was a great man, and I always enjoyed his laugh. He was a contagious laugh. And then when I was looking at the coaching staff, you know, a Jerry Pizzetti, a Scott DeYoung, and all of the coaches that were the Ankeny Hawk coaches, and you just admired what they had, and the community was always rally around their school. Their activity programs were good. And I had talked to some people that said, hey, you might be interested in this position. And it's like, I could retire from Fort Dodge. But then I interviewed, and then it came back to, you know, do you want the job? And I said we had to have a family meeting to see if this was going to happen. And my family was supportive. They said, Dad, go for it. So, and here I am. And it's been 5 quick years. You know, at first I was talking to Rick Wolko at the Boys Association. He said, try it for 3 to 5 years and see what you can do. And I'll never forget Rick. He was a good mentor too as well. And, you know, I'll never regret coming back to, you know, to Ankeny for the 5 years that I've been here. It's been rewarding.
Well, I know the school administration here, they did a lot of planning for this split and had some lower-level programs in place before the school actually opened. But what were the biggest challenges that you faced, you know, in taking over an AD's position at a brand-new school?
Well, the first year, it was crazy. Our office looked like a UPS store. We had everything from high jump pit to track spikes to uniforms and making sure everything was in place. And the school was very supportive in helping, you know, set the stage for getting the school off to a good start. We ordered everything. It was, you know, chairs for basketball, sideline, and rugs and everything. It was, you were just hoping you didn't miss anything. But the coaching staff was pretty much hired by Kevin Biggs and Blackmore. And so there was a couple coaches that we had to bring in and hire, but for the most part, the coaching staff was there, and it was just good to work with those people. But opening a brand new high school, the first one they said in like 40 years for Iowa, it was challenging, but it was fun in the process with brand new facilities and brand new everything. My job was making sure just everything was in place.
Well, you mentioned the coaching staff. There were a number of state championship coaches who decided to make that move to Ankeny Centennial when it opened. Did you have any idea that so many coaches, you know, would decide to make that move?
I was a little surprised, but a lot of the veteran coaches did make the move. But again, they, you know, had reasons for why they chose to move to Centennial. A lot of them lived on the north side of town and wanted to maybe coach their kids later on. But you know, that first year we had John Olson. You know, John Olson was I remember him in high school from Ames and good golfer. And he comes in the very first year and gets us going with a state championship in boys golf the very first year. And then it was just working with the coaches and making sure that they had everything that they needed, you know, do my job to get what they need and then get out of the way.
Well, you mentioned the golf championship, and then the following year, Centennial started a streak of three consecutive state volleyball championships. You know, how surprised were you by the school's, you know, immediate success in so many different sports?
Well, you know, to start out with boys golf, there were some good golfers there, but John was a good coach as well. And then we came back with Jessica Reinhart leading us in volleyball, and you have people like Jay Lee Winters. I don't want to name all the people because I want to leave some out, but the team was amazing to watch. And you get to volleyball and state tournament, and you see that, and the next year they come back, and then here comes, you know, a basketball state tournament, and then here comes with Scott DeYoung, and Scott, I can't say enough about him because I used to coach against him and had a hard time beating him. That was my last season as a head coach in Fort Dodge was, you know, Scott beat me in the, that was 1998, I believe. And then coming back with girls soccer with Chris Allen and just the coaching staff that we have at the, in Ankeny at both schools has been phenomenal to see. And, you know, the programs have just grown under their leadership.
Well, looking back on your 5 years, you know, at Centennial, is there anything that you do differently now?
Oh, boy, that's loaded. That's a load of, I'm not sure right now. I'd have to, you know, think about that a little bit, but it's been pretty rewarding. You know, the administration at Centennial with Jen Lindemann as principal, she's an outstanding administrator, one of the best I've been around. And the staff, very supportive. And just in the community, Ankeny cares about their kids. And not only in academics, but in all the activities, it's just been a very supportive community for any high school, middle school, elementary student. Ankeny just rallies around those schools.
Well, right now we're right in the middle of probably the busiest time of the year with you know, boys soccer going on, girls soccer, girls state tennis, girls state golf. You probably don't get much sleep this time of year, do you?
The spring is crazy. That's probably the worst season for being an AD is the spring because you have a lot of outside activities and a lot of them are weather related. And this spring was crazy. One of the craziest ones I remember with all the postponements. We usually don't cancel soccer games. They usually play in the rain, but we cancel some because of lightning and, you know, some of the schools that didn't have turf fields, we had to cancel them. But in track, we were just trying to find places to run. And we actually went out of state to run the Kansas Relays. And just we'll go down there and it rains down there. But it's this was a busy time. And, you know, we're still not done with the spring season. We have tonight we have girls soccer tonight. We take on Des Moines East at Centennial at 3:00. We graduate tonight at 7:00 at Hilton. And then we have boys soccer playing tomorrow at the state at county. And, you know, we still have baseball, softball going on too. So it is busy. Yeah.
Well, and then last week you had a situation come up at your home baseball doubleheader where the umpires didn't show up. Can you kind of tell for people that aren't aware of it, you know, what goes into scheduling the umpires and what happened there that night?
Well, that was – we have an assigner. We have assigners for football, for volleyball, for basketball, for soccer. And we as athletic directors, we assign our own as far as cross-country swimming, boys and girls swimming. And then the other ones are our assigners. Well, we have a system called the arbiter, and we send our schedules to our assigner. And our freshmen and sophomores had games at Lincoln that night, and it was busy, and I should have checked, but the game wasn't there on the arbiter, and we didn't have umpires scheduled. So that's on me. That was the only time that I didn't have umpires show up, and I didn't want to end my career that way, but we will reschedule that game with Des Moines Lincoln, and nobody feels worse than I do on that one. So I apologize to the coaches, and they said, don't worry about it. Things happen. They were very supportive with that. But I know some fans were maybe not real happy with that. But we'll make that game up. I think that one's going to be June 22nd, so we'll get that one in place.
Well, those things happen. I know how busy this time of year is. I mean, you're coming and going in all directions. You know, I can see where it'd be easy for something like that to happen. But, well, Newton Athletic Director Scott Jarvis has been named to succeed you. What can you tell the people in Ankeny, you know, about Mr. Jarvis?
Well, Scott, he's from Eldora originally, and I got to know Scott. He was an AD that took over for Chuck Van Heck, who was a longtime AD at Muscatine. And I guess his wife is from Muscatine, and Scott was over in Muscatine, and then he left Muscatine and went to a school in Minneapolis. I know another community of trying to get him to stay in Iowa as being an AD after their longtime AD retired. But he took off, went to Minnesota, was up there for a number of years, went out to Seattle. I believe it was a private school in Seattle. And then they got, you know, calling to come back to Iowa, be close to family. And he's been in Newton. And so he's been around, so he knows the AD circles, and he's connected with the state. He was the state athletic director president 2 years ago. And so he's done a good job. So he's connected with everybody in Iowa, and technology is a forte for his. He's going to be good with that, and he'll bring a lot of things that this old AD wasn't very good at, but Scott will be good. He's, you know, I think he's like 45 years old, and he's got some years left in him. So, and he's doing a great job. He's connected, and he wants to get going, and he'll be starting here in June. So he's actually interviewing some people today. So he's started already.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I know he's already been spending some time here in Anchorage, so it seems like maybe it's going to be a pretty easy adjustment for him.
Yeah, I think so. And again, we communicate, and, you know, we've sat down and had some discussions on, you know, what happens in Ankeny, and you know, the groups that we have for each sports, parent reps, our booster club has been very supportive. Ankeny Booster Club has been phenomenal to support all of our activities. You know, a lot of people don't know about the booster club, but they put in a lot of time. Everybody sees concession stand, but there's not too many communities. It was the last winter. Both schools received a check for $95,000, which was incredible. And that's just, again, the support that Ankeny gives the schools and all of the activities.
Well, I know you've had a couple of the spring coaches announce their resignations here recently. So I guess Scott's going to come in here, and he's got some things to deal with right away, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Andy Fain, girls golf coach. Again, he's going to have some kids that he is going to watch of his own compete in track and compete in softball over at Johnston. So Andy's announced his retirement. And Emily Pomacek, our girls tennis coach, who's done a great job. We went from the first year, I think we had like 35 girls out for tennis, and this year we had 104. So in 5 years, she's doubled, and it's just been, you know, phenomenal to watch her do that. And just about every girl, I believe, they played in either four or five tennis meets this year. You're trying to get 105 people into a tennis meet, but they've done it. You know, Emily and Chad Brooks, assistant coach, and then Emily's dad, Biff Renner. And Biff is going to retire too. I think he's got to take care of the grandkids. So, but that's going to be hard to replace. And then also our dance team coach, Madison Zaretta, is retiring, and Jill Peterson retiring as dance team coaches. So they've got some people to hire, but for the most part, a lot of the coaches are staying in place, and I've been lucky. I've been blessed that they've been, you know, staying with it for my tenure here, and they've just been fun to work with.
Well, Tom, I know you've got a lot of other things to deal with today, so we're going to cut you loose. But I think you're leaving the program in solid footing, and I want to thank you for your help over the years. You've been phenomenal to work with, so thanks for coming in today, and good luck in your retirement.
Well, thanks, Dan, and I want to give you a plug too. I mean, you know, we talk of, you know, when we go to our CIML AD meetings, there's a lot of schools in the metro that wish they had a Dan Holm to do what they do, what you do, and cover the activities for Ankeny. Was Des Moines Register, now the Ankeny Fanatic, and what you do is incredible, and I hope it continues to grow. Cyclone Fanatic, Ankeny Fanatic, it's been amazing to see the support that, and you're at every event as well, so your schedule is probably worse than mine, because you're all
it
over
can
the
be.
Place. You're all over the place, so we appreciate what you've done and what you continue to do for the kids in Ankeny, and, you know, continue to grow what you've done, and It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. All right. You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. I am Dan Holm, the publisher of Ankeny Fanatic, and we are going to welcome our second guest in here now. He was the Iowa Boys Tennis Coach of the Year for the 2016-17 season, and he is retiring now as the Ankeny Boys Tennis Coach. He is Randy Daniels. Randy, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Well, congratulations on a great career. You know, has it sunk in yet that it's over?
Yeah, these last couple of days. Tomorrow's my official last day, so it's starting to really sink in, and I'm realizing that I'm going to be saying goodbye to some really good friends for the last time, you know, and so it's starting to really sink in. And I, you know, when we got beat by Ames in the sub-state, you know, you walk off and you say, hey, that's my last match. It's not just the player's last match. It's my last coaching, last time I'm probably going to coach an Ankeny kid anyway. I'm not ruling out getting back into coaching sometimes, who knows. But for now, you know, the 33 years is coming to an end, and it was a little different. You know, you walk off and it's just a good reflection time and a good time to think back on all the good kids that you've coached over the years and in different sports. And so it's starting to sink in now.
I'll bet. Well, before we talk about your career a little bit, let's talk about your plans going forward. What are your plans for retirement? Are you going to be spending a lot of time at the lake?
Yeah, that's where I'm going to be Friday. All right, we were already there Memorial Day weekend, and it's nice. It's an hour away, but what I tell people is it might as well be 5 hours away, because once you're there, you forget about everything. It's very relaxing. So that's going to be the main thing. I hope to this is all kind of working out really kind of like just how I planned. My plan was to teach at Ankeny for 33 years and retire. I've done some adjunct instructing. I taught at DMAC for a while. I taught at Upper Iowa in addition to teaching at Ankeny. And so I knew that I would get back into, you know, probably doing some math teaching that way. And that'll probably happen. I have a lot of hobbies. I have, you know, obviously the lake, and I do a lot of remodeling the basements just as a hobby, because it's so different than teaching. So I'm going to be doing a lot of that.
Well, that's good to know. I got a basement that you can remodel.
Yeah, you know, I've done quite a few of the teachers at Ankeny, so you'd be surprised. And it's all been word of mouth. It's just, you know, and for me, I think that's the best way to do it, because, you know, for me, it's a hobby. So when I really kind of look at it more of, you know, just taking pride in my own work. So I'm probably my worst critic, you know, because I know if I like it, you know, the person I'm doing it for was probably going to like it too. And matter of fact, I have a former student that's trying to line me up, and she's got all these projects for me. And so, I don't know. I'll have to ease into that a little bit, because I don't want to work too hard.
Sure. Well, when you first came to Ankeny, did you ever, you know, did you envision that you would spend 33 years here, or did you think maybe that would be a stepping stone to somewhere else?
Well, actually, no. You know, I really did. And, you know, growing up in Marshalltown, and I knew the reputation that Ankeny had. When you first start off, you don't really think about it. But once I got in here and started coaching and saw the facilities and saw, you know, what we had available to us, I thought, you know what, yeah, why would I go anywhere else? I mean, I have the best facilities at the time, and we had great facilities. Anything we wanted as a coach or as a teacher, you know, I had. So there really wasn't a motivation to really look elsewhere. I taught great kids, and that's where I really reflect. I mean, you know, when you go back and when they had the retirement celebration at Otter Creek, you know, I put in there, I mean, I've had a really good opportunity to teach and work with some great teachers, you know, Coach Pete. I've had great administrators. And most importantly, I look back at all the kids that I've taught and what they're doing now, and how many of them are successful teachers now here back in Ankeny. I've really been fortunate, and all the teachers in Ankeny are fortunate to really, you know, have the opportunity to work with such great kids. So, you know, that was kind of the plan. I mean, and I knew I'd teach 33 years, and I knew that I'd have other opportunities to go out and do some other things.
Now, you came to Ankeny a couple of years after I graduated. Mm-hmm. It wasn't later until I came back to Ankeny. Now, what other coaching positions did you have here before you got involved with tennis?
Well, I was you know, tennis is kind of a unique, you know, how I got in there is not a very common. I was a baseball player and I was a shortstop. And so when I first came to Ankeny, I coached baseball and was Mel Merkin's assistant for at that time, 11 years, 10 or 11 years. And that was the longest, you know, assistant he ever had. And there was only three of us at the time, Mike Beeman, Mel Merkin, and myself. And then we had all three levels. We had varsity, junior varsity, and sophomores. And so I was a head sophomore coach all by myself, throwing batting practice to 28 kids, and this arm is now feeling it too. But so I did that, and I was a ninth grade basketball coach, and then I got into my officiating career. I officiated high school basketball for 20 years and was very fortunate to do 11 state tournaments in girls and 11 state tournament in boys. I was fortunate to have a state championship in boys. We did a Class 2A championship my last year. I think it was 2007, maybe.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, yeah, there's... I was a state champion baseball player. We won the state championship my senior year. So that was pretty special against Dowling. We beat Dowling. I was able to officiate a state championship, and then I was able to coach a state championship in our baseball.
Oh, wow.
So I've seen it from all different perspectives, and it's kind of special, and it is. But I would say, you know, now, you know, especially tennis-wise, Dennis Niedermeyer has Ankeny's only, you know, state championship. And championships are great, but I think I've gotten more out of coaching just seeing the kids improve, especially after the split that you'll probably talk about.
Sure. Well, had you ever played tennis? And how did you get involved with the tennis position?
Well, so my buddy and I, we would go to baseball practice, and then when we get done from baseball practice, we go play a couple hours of tennis. So it was just pick up tennis, and because back in the 80s, you know, you didn't do both. I mean, you either did baseball or tennis. I mean, I don't think anybody really did both sports then, and so we had to choose. But my buddy and I, we just always played, you know, every chance we could all summer long, and so for me, it was just something that I really enjoyed. And then Colin, my son, I'll back up. Dennis Niedermeyer was a student of mine, and who became Dennis Hopeful. He changed his name right before he had his son. He was a student of mine, and he asked me, Colin was going to take some camps and do some lessons with him. And he knew, I'd been out of coaching for a little bit. And he says, "Hey, you know, D, you ever think about getting back into coaching?" And I said, "No, you know." I said, "But I will for you." And that's, you know, what I thought. I thought that much of him. And it was the best thing, you know, that I ever did. Dennis and I became best friends, and we spent many, many hours together. Our families became really close. His kids, you know, are very close to me, and actually I taught his wife also, Val, and had them in the same class, so it was kind of weird. But
so how many years were you his assistant?
Five, I believe. Five. You know, and again, I mean, I think this is my 12th year of coaching, and I think I was head coach for 7 years and assistant for five. I mean, it might be, I don't know, it might be six and six, I don't know. I'm not very good at math, remember?
Well, a lot of people in Ankeny, I'm sure, are familiar with, you know, the circumstances of how you took over the program. You know, Dennis died suddenly back in 2011, and I know you felt like, you know, it was going to be impossible to replace somebody like him. You know, was it a difficult decision for you to decide to do that?
Yeah, it was. I went to the AD and I said, I don't know if I can do it, because after when you lose, you know, a best friend like that, you know, I didn't know how I would walk onto the court. I didn't know if I'd. I mean, it was weird walking on the court and not seeing Dennis. I didn't know if, I mean, I knew I wanted to do it for the kids, for the team. And I wanted to do it for him for his legacy to live on. I really struggled. And that's where John Pete came in, and I taught with John Pete for many years, and he knew that, you know, he didn't have any tennis, you know, experience, but he has, you know, great coaching experience, and that's what you need. And he he knew that I needed somebody that knew me and knew, you know, how to support me, and he stepped up, and that's really what allowed it to happen. If Coach Pete wouldn't have stepped up, I don't know if I could have done it.
Sure.
You know, 'cause I needed somebody that just understood everything and knew how to, you know, to work with kids. And we had some good years. I mean, it, you know, that actually, you know, was some of the more rewarding things as opposed to the, you know, wins and losses. It was about excuse me.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about, of course, in 2013, you had to deal, you know, with some more adversity with the split into two schools because you elected to stay at Ankeny High School, even though the bulk of the talent, you know, was going to be heading to Centennial. You know, was that a hard decision for you as well?
Well, and again, it was a decision that, you know, both of my kids had graduated, you know, so I didn't have any ties one way or the other. It was a decision that we kind of made, you know, I'd been, you know, working on it as a math department head. We didn't want all the staff to go one direction, you know, veteran, you know, have one school with new. So we tried to, you know, split it, kind of where we had balanced staff. And there were three of us, you know, there was a, you know, quite a few of us with a lot of, there were six of us with over 20 years of experience in the math department. And as it worked out, you know, we kind of balanced three and three. Three went north and three went south. And John still had a daughter that was going to graduate from Ankeny. And so I think we, you know, part of the decision was, you know, hey, you know, since I don't have any commitment and I kind of wanted to, you know, stay with, you know, with John and Joe Carey. And that's that was part of it. Tennis-wise, I knew. I mean, I had 40 kids coming back. 32 of them were going north, 8 were coming south. So, you know, if you're basing it on, you know, where the talent is, you go with, you know, the 32. And sometimes it's not all about talent. Sometimes it's about, you know, what's right. And I think if I had to do it over again, I'd probably do it the same way.
Well, even though that was a tough situation for you, ironically, it worked out well for your son, Colin, who became one of the state's, you know, youngest head coaches ever at the time. He was going to Iowa State. What was he, 21 when he took over at Centennial?
Yes, he was. Yeah.
I mean, that just seems incredible to me, even today.
Yes, he was probably 21. Maybe 20.
Well, I'm sure you took enormous pride in the fact that, you know, that he became a coach at such a young age, you know, yeah. But was that tough too for you guys to compete against each other for those first couple of years?
No, not really. I mean, you know, again, you know, how that came about is, you know, as you know, Colin would do the camps with Dennis and I, and, you know, we saw what he was capable of, you know, working with kids you know, once they advertised the Centennial position, they didn't get really a lot of applicants. And one day we were just sitting down. I said, Colin, I said, you're just as qualified as anybody. I said, you should even think about it. And he kind of thought about it and did. And it turned out pretty good. I mean, as now, we can see that it's led into a pretty good, you know, tennis coaching career for him, which again, it's rewarding. I think it shows it's, you know, what happens when people make the right, you know, decision based on, you know, what they're set out to be. So
Colin moved on to Pleasant Valley and now he's at Iowa City West as an assistant. I know he's getting married this summer, right?
Yeah.
I assume he aspires to be a head coach again.
Yeah, I think he will. I think if Liberty, they don't have tennis right now. I think he would be a logical choice for a head coach. You know, there's not very many, you know, programs in the state that have an assistant with head coaching experience. And I think if Liberty offers, you know, boys tennis and gets some courts built, I think he'd be a pretty good candidate to be in the running for that.
Well, you mentioned with your position, it wasn't about the wins and losses, you know, these last few years, and certainly your ranking teams suffered through some lean years the first few years. Yeah. The last couple of years, you guys have gotten over the hump. You've had some success. You know, do you feel pretty good about where the program is today?
Yeah, you know, again, like you said, you know, it's time to go back and reflect. And I think I've coached 12 years. You know, 9 of those years, we've had somebody at the state tournament. You know, down at individual, and in a lot of those years we were you know, 1 win away from the team, you know, and they only bring 4 teams into the team title, and so 9 of the years, and the 2 years that we 2 of the 3, one was this year, we were in a tough district with Valley, and then the other 2 years were the 2 years we right after we split, you know, in those years we didn't win, we were winless. But when I think about it, I think probably during those 2 winless seasons was some of the most rewarding coaching I've ever done, because of, you know, you're starting from scratch. I'm going back and taking, you know, these 4 guys that have never, you know, 4 freshmen come in, they've never played tennis before. You know, this is the first time they picked up a racket. So I got to go back and I got to do what we do in our camps during the summer. And you just start from the basics. And then to see them being a you know, varsity level tennis player 3 or 4 years later down the road, it was pretty rewarding. It was, you know, we're 2 years ago we were playing Iowa City West, the eventual state champion, you know, the team that Colin's coaching for right now. They were our sub-state, you know, 2 years ago. And I'm looking out on the court and I go to Pete, you know, 5 of those 6 guys out on the court weren't playing tennis 4 years ago. This is, you know, and for them to be competing. Now, we didn't, trust me, we didn't have a chance against West, but they were making them earn it. And I think sometimes, you know, we get hung up on wins and losses where this was just about competing and competing at the best you can. And I saw that yesterday. You know, we saw some teams, you know, at the team 2A was yesterday, some guys didn't come out and play, you know, for whatever reason. You know, they didn't think they stood a chance, and so they didn't really, you know, give it their 110%. And I go back and said, you know what? I don't think I can ever say that about my guys. They knew that the opponent that they're playing, you know, was always, you know, maybe, you know, hit, you know, year round, or they hit indoors, but they always gave it 110%. And I think, you know, that's what it's about. You know, if we can get to the point where kids, and I told the kids, you know, here's what's going to happen. You're going to respect the game, you're going to respect your opponent, and you're going to respect yourself. And I said, if you do those things, you know, that's what we tried to measure our success on. And they bought into it. And I mean, that's why, you know, when I told them that I was retiring, it was so difficult, because they're great kids. And they bought into it, and they really, you know, they did the best that they could, you know, and they knew that, and we as coaches knew that too.
Well, it was a while ago that you announced your retirement. I know the administration was aware of it. Do you know, yeah, where things stand as far as finding somebody to replace you?
I don't actually, you know, I don't, sometimes, you know, with the end of the school year and the way tennis is, sometimes they don't even kind of, you know, think about that until they're just trying to get through graduation, trying to get through all that. And so I don't know if they've acted on it. I don't know if there's anybody, you know, in house, or, you know, anybody that they've hired, new hires that have any kind of tennis experience. Sometimes tennis is kind of tough, you know, but I hope, I'm more worried, you know, I'm not more worried, but I'm also worried about the summer camps, because I also gave up the summer camps, and we had built that up to a pretty impressive numbers, you know, the number of kids, and believe it or not, that's where a lot of it starts. You know, we got a lot of kids. There's a lot of kids. 2 of them are at Centennial right now. Ryan Lofgren and Will Blevins came off at a very impressive, you know, state performance. Will Blevins placed 5th in individual, and Ryan Lofgren teamed up with Sam Merrill and placed 8th for Centennial at in the doubles. And for North Polk, Evan Moon he was state runner-up as a sophomore, mm-hmm, in the 1A competition. And 3 of those guys, Ryan, Will, and Evan all started camps, you know, in the city programs and the camps when they were probably 5 and 6 years old, you know, and to see them reach that success is just remarkable, not remarkable, but it's very rewarding. And because we knew that they had the ability to do that. And I think sometimes people lose track of, that's where that you know, love for the game starts at a very young age. And so if those camps don't continue, I kind of wonder, well, which kids would we miss? You know, which one of those kids could have had an opportunity to be the next Will Blevins or the next Evan Moon or the next Ryan Lofgren? And that's why I think that's really gotta continue.
Sure. Well, I know many of the teams that you've competed against over the years here in the Metro, you know, those kids have some access to indoor practice facilities. How important do you think it is with the way this community is growing? How much would an indoor practice facility in Ankeny help, you know, both programs?
Oh, tremendous. I mean, because right now, well, you know, back when Dennis was coaching and that's the part that people don't realize is that had Dennis not passed away, I think we would be closer to an indoor facility at Ankeny. He had plans drawn up. We just need, I mean, it's tough. An indoor, you know, it needs to be part of a racquet club or something. And that's why we were really disappointed. But I think it's crucial. I mean, you know, and that's, I tell my kids that all the time. If you want to get to that next level, you have to hit year round. You have to hit, you know, during the winter just for the timing. And they know that, but they're also involved in basketball. They're involved in baseball. And so finding the time when you're three and, you know, a three sport athlete is difficult, you know, but I tell you what, even one day a week would make a huge difference. You know, would it make a big difference? Absolutely. You know, you're looking at between the two schools, there was over 230 kids that competed in tennis this summer or this spring.
Wow.
You know, and those, you know, and there's a ton of those kids that are going to Aspen. They're driving into Lifetime. They're driving up to Ames. We used to take, you know, when my son was playing, we'd take 14 kids up to Ames Racquet Club, you know, every Sunday night. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people driving out of Ankeny that would, you know, that Ankeny could really, we could support it easily, you know, and that wouldn't be a bad retirement gig for me either. If you can find somebody just kind of, you know, drop some of those courts in there and get it built for me and I'll run it for them. So
there you go.
I think there's a couple people in town that could probably do that.
Oh yeah, I bet. Well, Randy, I want to thank you for coming in. We're going to cut you loose and let you get back to school. You probably got a class yet to teach here, but just want to thank you for your friendship over the years and your cooperation. You've been great to deal with. And some people probably remember this, but a few years ago, you and the other tennis coaches got together and you guys, you know, donated the funds from your Pink Out event to me and my wife, who is battling cancer. And I can't tell you how much, you know, we appreciate that. So I just want to thank you again for coming in and good luck to you in your retirement.
Well, and I think, you know, I'm going to use this opportunity probably to speak for all the other coaches and, you know, those of us that have been in Ankeny for a long time, you know, really, really appreciate all that you've done for Ankeny sports. And you know what, it is not the same without you. And that's why this Ankeny Fanatic is such a great deal. And, you know, I hope that it takes off and just continues to grow like it has, because you've done a tremendous job for Ankeny sports and you need to be rewarded for that and commended for that also. So thank you.
Thank you, Randy. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic weekly podcast sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title, and Escrow and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at Mike Stanbro, and that's STANBROUGH, @iowarealty.com. Thanks for listening to the podcast, and we'll be back next week.